Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, first person to have done it, yeah.
All right, so he wanted, his main goal was to create awareness and to raise funds for Plastic Free Cayman, and we'll get to more of that coming up in a few. That morning at 5 a.m., Ollie, and we talked to you a few times, once on the phone and once in studio, before you took off for this. When you first got in the water, tell us what you were thinking, what were you feeling, tell us a little bit about all that stuff. What was in your mind, what were you mentally thinking, etc.?
Yeah, so do you know, it actually was really, really nice to actually get in the water. The build-up to this swim has been, it's been full-on, to be honest. It's been really incredible. We've been going around schools, we've been doing talks about plastic pollution and things like that as well, but the actual build-up and the training, and then all of a sudden you're actually in that situation, you get in the water, all my anxieties kind of melted away, I started swimming, and we can go on to what happened after that.
Now, yeah, wait, actually, now your anxieties, that's what I'm curious about, your anxieties melted away the minute you got in the water. I thought it would ramp up more, like the minute you got in the water, you're like, oh, this daunting task ahead of me, no?
No, well for me it's my happy place, when I get in the water I just can just center myself and everything else kind of just is irrelevant really, and it's just me in the water and it's fantastic. So actually for me it was the best time to get in the water and actually make a start.
So you got in the water at that point, you had found a weather window, and as you get in, if you can remind us, because you know we were following along, Claire and the crew in the boat that was next to you, how important was this support team that was rolling along next to you for you? Was this something that helped push you along?
Without the support team, I don't know if I'd have got past sort of the 6-hour mark, to be honest. The feed plan and things like that went out the window quite early on due to some reasons and things, and literally the support was incredible. The smiley faces, the different kayakers coming up next to me and steering me past coral heads, and yeah, I mean, it literally was the biggest team effort. There's no way I could have done it.
We were checking at first, Ollie, and it was so fascinating because as we're following you and you're in the map and you're taking that turn around West Bay in the early morning hours of Monday and going past Rum Point. Do you remember in the early morning hours, here we are first dawn and you're hitting Rum Point and the water was like glass? Do you remember that part?
Yeah, I do, and it's absolutely beautiful. And all the different sections, some of it's shallow, so you can see the coral. Some of it's really deep, and you can't see anything, and you're sort of looking around, wondering what's in the water. But all the different... To be honest, I can remember most of the swim. Towards the end, is a bit more of a blur, I'm not going to lie, but yeah.
Okay, so then at this point, now the sun starts going down, and you know, the sun goes down on this particular day, and it starts getting dark on day one. At this point, what were your thoughts as far as entering the evening then at that time?
Yeah, so we were up at Moritz at this point. We're very lucky we had Steve from Ocean Frontiers guiding us through the cut there at the end at Moritz. To be honest, there was no fear. I thought I was going to be scared of swimming in the dark. Obviously, there's some marine life that we were sort of didn't want to encounter. But actually, it was more of a case of just... By this point, everything was quite sore, and I was just had my head down and focusing on the swim. So it was actually really nice. The water was super flat, though, so we were incredibly lucky with the conditions. We were in the east end at this point.
Yeah, okay. And then the sun comes up in that morning, and that's when we really actively were following the boats and everything, about checking in every 10 minutes or so on this radio station. And this is now Tuesday morning. You've been in the water now for, 16, 18 hours, something like that. That I can't remember, even more than that probably, actually no, 24 hours, over 24 hours, and you sun starts coming up and now you're hitting Bodentown area. How bad was the sargasm, and what are you thinking at this point with the sun coming up? You're 24 hours into your swim.
Yeah, so the sargasm is quite bad. There's lots of patches I'm swimming through, and at this point my skin's quite sore anyway, just from the salt and some sun exposure from the day before, so it's scratching past my skin. I'm not going to lie, I had to dig up some memories in my mind of why I was doing it and just remind myself why I was in the water, to keep that motivation going, because it was a super tough swim, it really was. I had to dig a lot deeper. People say, oh, you're superhuman. There's none of that at all. I'm just a normal chap, but just with a real passion to make a difference. And I had to keep digging up some of the school visits, talking to the kids, seeing their faces, and just really bringing all those memories back so I could keep going.
Wow. And this is probably one of the first times then you had thought, man, I could easily wrap this up and quit. This has just been too tough on me. As you're swimming through sargasm that's scratching you and you're super tired after 24 plus hours in the water. Was that one of the first times you're probably thinking about, man, I could easily wrap this up?
Yeah, I mean, it did pass. It flashed past my mind. I was never going to quit. I'll be absolutely honest with you. At times, I wanted the ocean to swallow me up. I was in that much pain.
Oh.
But it was a case of I can't quit. So if I'm going to be forced to quit, then so be it. But I'm just going to keep going until that happens. Luckily, it didn't happen, and we managed to keep pushing on and succeed.
We're on with Ollie Rush. He's the gentleman that swam all the way around Grand Cayman, and we're kind of recreating that 36 or 37 hours. Next thing we know, as you're coming along 7 Mile Beach there, you're hitting 7 Mile Beach. And what are you thinking now at that point?
That for me, to be honest, was the hardest section. I could see the finish, but it never got any closer. It's such a vast stretch of water across there to West Bay. Mm. And I could see the end every time I looked up. I'd lost track of time at this point, so I'd look down at my watch, say it said 45 minutes. I'd look down at thinking it was 10 minutes later, and it was only like 30 seconds apart.
Oh,
so
man.
This was super tough at this point, and I had the kayakers next to me, and they were keeping me going. They were saying, you're getting much closer, but to me, it just didn't get any closer. This was definitely the hardest section of the swim.
Now, as you rolled up on West Bay, you had was it junior swimmers that came along and joined you for the final stretch?
Yeah, a couple of lads, Ben and Jake, absolutely lovely lads, incredible swimmers as well. I'm excited to see their swimming journey. I'm sure they're going to both go do some amazing feats themselves. And then we crawled myself out onto the beach. I couldn't believe that my legs were working still. I was actually able to walk out the beach, out the sea, through all the sargasm there, and then try and take it all in to see all the people there cheering. And very emotional at this point, and just appreciating really the fact that we've actually achieved it. Just
unbelievable.
Incredible.
At this point, did they have to check you into the hospital? I'm assuming then for a variety of reasons to check you out, make sure you're okay, right?
Yeah, so there was a stretcher there. Well, we didn't really know what kind of condition I was going to be in. My tongue had swollen up so much, I was actually struggling to breathe at this point from the salt water.
Mm.
So they were worried about my saturation levels in my blood. I was very dehydrated. I had some sore shoulders, as you can imagine, sunburn. I couldn't tell if I was cold or if it was just the effect from the sun, so I was shivering. We had amazing Crystal. I want to mention Crystal. She's been amazing support. I was in the ambulance there, Crystal Celeste. And they looked after me. They put me on a drip. And I spent the night in hospital being really, really looked after. And we got some fluids in me and some pain medication. And it was just taking it all in. It was incredible.
Now, what was the first thing that you wanted to eat when it was time to eat, Ollie?
This was the problem. I couldn't. My mouth was so sore, I wasn't able to eat any solid foods for about 3 days. So I was having these shakes from Green to Go, and that was all I could. That was all I could eat. It was literally just milkshake, like smoothies.
We were debating like it was either like a bacon cheeseburger from Burger Shack or like a pizza from Ragazzi or something like that, or a Gino's pizza cupcake or something like that. But you just had no interest at all with that tongue.
No.
Right?
So I'm vegan. I've been vegan, plant based for about 6 years now. So it was literally all I could imagine eating was probably like a nice tofu stir fry or something. Probably not everyone's fancy, but
boom.
Yeah, I couldn't eat any solid foods because of how sore my mouth was.
Wrapping up this amazing experience, what do you think it created as far as awareness? And I know we're going to be talking to Claire with a complete recap of how much money was raised in the GoFundMe. How was your feelings about creating awareness for Plastic Free Cayman? And the recent news, too, that government is going to go back and start talking about enacting a bill for single-use plastics. What's your thoughts?
That's incredible. That is the whole reason I did what I did, was to raise awareness and to allow us to get to a platform and get people listening, and we've definitely achieved that. We've raised so much money. I hope people can keep that money coming in, because we need to fund Plastic Free Cayman to continue what they're doing. And I'm so pleased with the awareness and just the support. It just shows that everyone, you know, people do care and people do want to make a difference. It's just shaking it up a little bit, getting it in the forefront of the mind, and making us realize we need to look after this planet much, much better than we are.
Ollie Rush, amazing, amazing. I can't even think of any other great adjectives. We used them all on the radio last week. Our listeners love following every step of the way, and the front page of the Cayman Compass. We got something kind of special for you that we kind of threw together here, something for you to take back to the UK with you, with that front page, using that front page picture, which I think is epic, and it says Gold Rush at the bottom. I'm not sure if you've seen it yet, the front page of the newspaper. It is actually truly special, and your endeavor was special as well, and we are very glad to have gotten to know you. We hope to see you before you head off to the UK, and much love to you, pal. Seriously, great work on what you accomplished last week, and we can't wait to hear what's next.
Thank you so much. Thank you.